Okay, welcome everyone. It's the 12th of August, 2020. So let's do some centering. And I invite you to just take some deep prana breaths as you relax your body. Bringing that beautiful life force energy into your lungs to circulate through your body as life force, oxygen. Visualize that going to every cell to enliven every cell with light and love and vitality. And as our theme is happiness, as you breathe in and out, imagine the energy of happiness moving through your being. Whatever that feels like to you, it could be a color or a sparkly energy. You can even smile to increase the energy of happiness. And allow all that beautiful energy to move through your body, and then imagine it circulating through our virtual circle. That energy of happiness swirling around, connecting us in a circle of life. And imagine happiness is all around us as well, and we're just taking it in, and then we're breathing it out. Willing to open and make more room for happiness to live and move in our being. Let's spread some happiness around the globe. So see it moving as a color, an energy field. And then as that energy returns from around the globe, open your heart and take it back into your heart. Let it circulate in your own body again. And then just take one more deep breath, anchoring this in the here and now present moment. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Okay, the topic tonight is happiness and what it is, as far as you know, from your own experience. Is it real? And if you think so, how do you know? And if you think not, how do you know that? We've just come off of 6 hours, some of us. Let's see, 5 of us have come off of 6 hours worth of focus on happiness. And quite a journey with the whole topic. So perspectives are very fresh and coming off of a deep dive with the topic. So it'll be an interesting blend how we all move, and nobody's an expert on happiness. Nobody is prevented from being an expert on happiness. And so who would like to share? We have 4 minutes each. And then how many of us? 6, 8, that's 30, however many minutes. Yeah, that'll work. Okay, so who would like to start on the question? What is happiness? Is it real for you? How do you know? Thanks. Who wants to go first? Stella, it's wonderful to see you so easily. It's much clearer. Okay, Seaman, thank you for volunteering to go first.
Thank you, then. Hello, everyone. Good to see you. Happiness. When I think about happiness, it reminds me it's a factor of multiple things. And I thought, okay, when I feel content, I am happy. When I'm at peace with myself, I am happy. It's a factor of self-love. My inner child, when I'm very in tune with my inner child, I think I feel some joyful, maybe joyfulness is more happiness to me. And at the other level, when I think about it in energy level, if I think I'm really energetically high and I'm happy, then there is a low. So I don't know if that's the real meaning of happiness. So I guess I don't know if it relates to energy. And then I thought it's a factor of mood and hormones too, when your hormones are imbalanced. So is it real? Maybe sometimes it's your mood is not real. It's just like a really chemical thing. So it's a very challenging question for me. But I know there are real different things. Contentment just means the most to me. Thank you.
How about we do this? You pick on whoever raises their hand next. So
Stella, please.
I would love to share some of the research I did for my earlier call, so we know that. I'm looking for my timer. Here it is. Okay, so starting that. So I did a dictionary search of happiness, which is defined as a feeling of pleasure or contentment. Contentment is defined as happiness plus satisfaction. Pleasure is defined as happy satisfaction plus enjoyment. And joy is defined as great pleasure plus inspired happiness and feeling good, vibrant, and delightful. So all of these are different shades of happiness and are different expansive. It's like, oh, let's see, how do I turn up the dial on whatever this thing is? Happiness is also knowing that life is good. It's also smiling. According to the dictionary, it's the opposite of sad. It gives a sense of well-being, and then there's an element of safety. And at a hormonal level, there are four hormones in the body that impact happiness. Dopamine, which is about rewards, and it helps you create habits, develop habits. Oxytocin, which is the hugging, connection, love hormone, and that helps you feel calm and safe. Serotonin, which is the hormone that helps you with pride, loyalty, recognition, accomplishment, accountability, leadership. And for me, really feels like being free and together and how to thrive in an interdependent community. And then endorphins, which are a form of pain relief. They can also provide relaxation, and they can also give you a high depending on what else is going on with your body. And isn't that cool? And for me, as I was initially reading all these things, I thought it sounded a lot of like the state of the nervous system where you're loving and connecting and you feel safe, which sounds a lot like being in absolute true north. And for me, it's an experience of being alive and in the flow and having that delicious vibration of energy that says, yes, hello, I'm not dead. What I learned today in our journey is that our inner children, well, first I learned that all humans are naturally happy, joyful people. And I learned that it is our inner children who hold the frequency of joy within us when they're healthy. When they're wounded, there are all sorts of other issues that come out of that. But when they're healthy, they hold that resonance, that frequency. So we can easily go back to that. And it is a choice to be in our happiness. Violence in this journey today, there are periods where I could have been distracted by the violence that's in the collective, and an invitation to go back to happiness and joy. And it's there. You can go there if you want. And also there's this other possibility, and you can choose to spend time in the other possibility. So yes, for me, happiness is real. I feel it in my body. It is very much an embodied experience. And I made a commitment this evening to be happy, to be truly happy as my baseline and as the place I return home to. Thank you.
Yay. And I'm going to jump in. Christine, are you on the call? Is that you on the phone?
Yes, that's me.
Would you like to go next?
It's great to be here again with all of you. And I actually was watching that movie, you know, Unhappiness, which was made by the Ananda community, the leader of the community, made a DVD, you know, Finding Happiness, and it's all about his life, Donald Walters. And that was a couple of years ago. And I realized after that movie that for me, the greatest joy and happiness is actually with animals, the animals in nature, that when I'm, you know, up at Mount Shasta and I'm in the high mountain, that's when I really feel happy. And to me, it's the connection with the oneness with nature. And then also with animals, that recently I saw a hawk that was just, you know, like even today I saw another bird that was hovering above me. I was taking a walk in nature, and I just realized that connects me so much with happiness and spirit. And it's something that sometimes is fleeting. I feel like I can't hold on to it. You know, I try to hold on to it. It's either there or it isn't there. But I know that movie, I'm pretty sure it's called Finding Happiness by Donald Walters, was an amazingly beautiful autobiography of his life and how he met Yogananda and found the Ananda community. And that was more than anything else. It just helped me to remember what it means for me. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone who shared so far. Who would like to go next? Megan, thank you.
Yeah, great sharing so far, everyone. I believe happiness is real. And I know that because I feel it, as Stella was saying, as an embodied experience. And I too feel that for me, happiness is definitely related to my absolute true north, so that when I'm in what I know to be my purpose in the moment, even if shit is happening all around me or in a relationship or, you know, right in front of me, I can still be happy because I know I'm in my true north learning the lesson I need to learn in the moment. And for me, that has so guided my life, because my life wouldn't make any sense otherwise. And so that's how I make sense of it, is to say I can be happy even though if someone was looking at the outside going, wow, that person shouldn't be happy, or wow, that's a situation that would make that person, you know, maybe be reactive or sad, or, and it's not that I don't feel those grief and sadness and those emotions. It's that when I know that I'm going through it for a reason and purpose for the development of my soul, I can still be happy, even if weird stuff is happening. So that's been a huge guiding light for me. I certainly like to feel more of the pleasure aspect of happiness. It's just that I have found that to be such an incredible way to move through life. Even when I'm feeling things like sadness, anger, frustration, I can still actually reach a state of happiness with that guidepost of my true north. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. For me, I have spent a lot of time contemplating the difference between joy and happiness. So this is how I understand right now, and it could change in the future as everything. So for me, then joy, I believe, in my view, is a constant that very often I might not be connected to, and I believe it is a constant if I connect to that feeling. Happiness, to me, in the contrary, is a variable. So it happens every moment. It changes, and it happens from a moment to moment. And the cause of happiness varies by moment to moment in my experience. So I feel happiness could be little things in life. And how do I feel happy is like everyone I embody. For me, it is also like I still have difficulty in embodying. So how I have experienced is more in my mind. It becomes lighter. And I just probably bring in the inner child, and that's when I feel very happy. She's joyful, she's light, she wants to jump, smile, laugh, everything. So many times I find so a little sensory pleasures are happiness. Like right now when I did the meditation, Megan, when you said about happiness, I really felt light. So I couldn't stop smiling. So it was so, I could connect to that happiness also without becoming, even a thought could be a happiness. It's not doing, even a thought could be happiness. So when I thought what could be make me happy now, it was coffee now when I meditated, like coffee would make me happy. And many times dancing would make me happy. You know, just dance around the music, listening to music makes me happy. Being out in the nature, so every it differs every time. How do I feel it to be true is like there is a huge energy shift. That's when I know I would be happy. And it is a really pleasurable experience when it comes to happiness. So yes, thank you. Who would like to go next? Yes, Cynthia.
This is really good. And I usually love to look up the definitions too. So Stella, I really appreciate that you did that. I got to happy and then I needed to. So it's so interesting. I have a reaction to words, or I have, I hear them used in so many different ways. So I do always have to go to the dictionary, and they haven't always been used well. Or I don't have a good identification with them because of family stuff or how they were used. And so happy was just so superficial and used not in healthy ways in my life. So I've had a reaction to it. And I also then have explored joy. And as you said that, Preeti, I think I have the same thing. Happiness is kind of more momentary or has a lot of variables to it. And then joy is this more constant. It is the true north for me, or that mastery place, which I really aspire to. And when I looked it up and I saw happy and contentment, there was something. And I think, Seema, you and Stella, just there is something when I'm feeling that joy or that happiness, there's something that's content within and pleasurable. And on that too, I can get with the happiness part, or the happy, I've gotten almost addicted to that pleasure feeling or the contentment. And I was a long distance runner, a competitive long distance runner for years, and ran marathons. And I was an addict to the endorphins. Addict. Because I think there was a lot more depression in my life. But I was, I loved being high on those endorphins. And so that's where I think that joy is kind of this more constant for me. When I was reading in my reflection time, someone gifted me this book for people that have experienced intense illness called The Unchosen Path. But the first thing I turned to this morning was loss is about what I had in the past. Happiness is about what I have and am now. So, you know, and I would put that to joy also, but just... So also, kind of Christine, when I also feel great happiness when I'm in nature, and the hummingbirds really have been my biggest teachers in the last couple of years. I mean, their presence and then the joy that they experience in flitting and flying, or what I'm experienced through them, as well as Preeti, the dancing and the music and the singing, or biking down the hill with the kids in the neighborhood, And then I just love that in the, that is a choice. I mean, that was a nice reminder that it is a choice. I mean, even turning my mouth upwards and how we did that, it just, and I forget that, how that can just change in whatever hormones that elicits. I'm sure that changes my body chemistry. It's just, it's amazing. And I think that loss of getting, I can get hooked into that loss or the grief, and how easy, and that's the shifting into the joy maybe for me more than, you know, being happy. I want, you know, the joy is for me in my definition, kind of that steady ongoing contentment, true north mastery. Anyway, this is great. And it's everyone, it's really amazing to hear and lovely. Thanks.
And then there was one. Thank you all. It's great to hear your contributions and to be reminded of certain things that I have thought of in the past. And in line with what Meg said about absolute true north, and a phrase I've attributed to that is being in the zone. If we can be there nonstop, 24/7, wow, how would that be? And relating to what Stella said and reminded us from what we sat through for 6 hours this morning and afternoon, it's a whole being experience. And it was brought to my attention how much happiness I had as a boy. And due to a certain situation and an event that happened where that happiness was just snatched from me, and how I chose to allow that through a long series of events. And rediscovering that happiness today was just really, really powerful. And so I can say, yes, I can be brought to a state of happiness by an event or an occurrence or a relationship. And on the absolute north, true north 24/7, in my awareness of being alive and active and pursuing my true north, that in itself is a motivator for happiness. As Meg said, with regardless of what's going on around me, not because of or as a result of what's going on around me. So that brings in this concept of choice. And that was what I brought initially this morning in when we were defining happiness, is that it's a choice. We can choose to be happy and not let things pull us down. Not that, again, as Meg said, that we don't feel the sadness or the hurt or whatever might be brought up by a scenario or a situation. Those would be in addition to the fact that I am basically a happy person. And I lost sight of that for a very long time. So I'm still kind of reveling in what does this all mean to have rediscovered this happy boy inside of me. So that's it for me right now. Thank you.
I'm going to suggest that happiness is a state of being rather than a state of affairs around us that it's catalyzed by things external to us. Personally, as I delve into happiness, I find that it's a constant. And it's like being on a bandwidth of a radio. And what causes me to be even happier than I am normally with or without other people being around are the pleasures. That's one of Stella's areas of expertise, is the pleasures in life, or are the pleasures in life, and the orgasms with life, and the unexpected, magical, mystical, miraculous things that occur. You know, what that does is it quickens the happiness. Oops, I better start my own timer here. I'll put 3 minutes. Yeah. For me, that it's a quickening of the happiness that's already there. And so it's not something that I lose. No one can take my happiness away from me or give me happiness. People can give me opportunities to experience my own happiness in new ways. For example, Jim is really good. I feel like I can ask Jim to help me, and that he will when he can, if he wants to. And in my life, I haven't had people that I felt I could ask for help on the material plane. Because usually I'm the most capable person around to nail a nail or do it, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's not so in my current living circumstance. There's a master builder in the house, and it happens to be Jim. And that is a happy-making thing for me. Even though I love to nail nails, and I love to do construction, and I love to do that kind of stuff, I don't have to here in order for something that needs repair to be done or an enhancement to be done, because there's someone I can ask. And if it works for him to do it, he will. And he's demonstrated that several times to me. And that has brought me pleasure, not happiness. It's brought me pleasure that has just kind of the notch on the radio in those moments. And it doesn't go away because the next minute he's not doing that for me. It's like, wow, that added to the happiness that was already there. Or I'll ask Megan for a hug and the chemicals start pouring. And they're not non-existent before I get that hug. They're just lower than they are when I get the hug. And so that's my experience. I am wired to be happy this lifetime. And I feel really grateful about that. I came with the yellow, with the color yellow is my favorite color. I came with a smile that's natural. And I was raised by a father who smiled very naturally. Not so my mother, my father did. And he was known for his smile. And I found out at my 40th high school reunion, I'm known for my smile and my laugh. When we were at the reunion and I laughed at something somebody said, and somebody across the room went, "That's Will Coxon, right? I remember that laugh. That used to make me smile." And I thought, wow, you know, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't fronted up for the 40th reunion. So it makes me happy. I am happier when I know that I also bring happiness to others. That doesn't affect whether I stay a happy person or I'm no longer a happy person if people don't find me happy making. So the other thing about joy and happiness, and that for me is a distinction, is that joy is a higher resonance for me than happiness is. Joy is something that when I move to that resonance in my consciousness, I am healthier. I am less affected by the collective and all the nonsense that's going on around me. I am impervious to jealousy. I'm impervious to all kinds of things. That when I'm in happiness, I feel differently than I do when I'm in joy. So I just wanted to share that as a perspective. I know the council would like to address us. They haven't done that in quite a long time on these calls. Is anybody objecting to that happening? Anybody have anything you'd like to say in relation to what has been shared? Because there's been a lot of wisdom. Yes, Stella, thank you.
This has been brought up several times, so I just wanted to add a little nuance to the aspect of grief and sorrow and being able to hold. It's, for me, it's not an either or of holding either joy or sorrow. It's, my experience has shown me that if we're born, if a flowing river is our natural state, when that river is dry, or it goes back to being just rocks and rock bed, or all of a sudden the flow seems to stop, grief is the process that allows us to clear the river of those rocks so we can go back to being in that flow state. So grief in its wild, untamed form can bring us back to aliveness and joy and those frequencies. And we can hold the both and of joy and sorrow, or gratitude and grief, or praise and anger. And I think that's part of being a master. Thank you.
I could not agree with you more. And it's also part of being human. That's one of the wonderful gifts of a lifetime in human form, is being able to feel the emotions. It certainly is one of the things about being in human form that draws me back repeatedly to have this experience in duality, which is why I can account for so many, many, many lifetimes here. And when we think we are our sorrow, or we think we are our joy, that's when we can have tumultuous experiences with emotions. When we are the master, and we are the vessel, and we are the antenna for the energetics, and the emotions move through us in the seasons or for whatever reasons, then we haven't attached who we are to how we feel. We are, and we feel, and then the feelings move if we don't block them. And we're enriched by those experiences, no matter what we feel, in my experience. Anybody else before we go to the council? Megan and then Seema, thank you.
I just wanted to mention, because it was brought up about the alchemy of happiness, and that when we choose, no matter what circumstance we're in, when we choose happiness as a pathway, in or out of something, we're actually choosing to turn on these alchemical chemicals in the body. And that choice, like to smile or to be in the grief and to move through it, we're choosing the alchemy of happiness. And then our body is so well equipped to follow what our spiritual and our emotional bodies desire. Just wanted to mention that. And I think the alchemy of happiness would be really fun to study. Thank you.
Oh, I was just like, after listening to everyone, I was thinking, okay, happiness, now I understand, it's a spectrum, starting from our feeling as a human, as a human in three-dimensional world, the basic of feeling, of emotions, and then goes up to when we are connected to our higher consciousness, to joy and resonance and high vibration. And I was thinking about mind control, and I was thinking, oh, maybe the control over us, like the mind control, I'm reading this Lizard and website and everything, that it can happen in that really basic physical level. Because sometimes I feel sad and my higher self wonders, oh, which chemical is low? Or what did I do? Maybe I didn't take my vitamin D today. I can totally feel this separation that my higher self wonders why my physical body is have that feeling or emotion of sadness or like feeling low. And that's wonderful. Thank you so much. That I just wanted to bring that up.
Yes, and I would like to add on to the emotions and the alchemical. Many of us are wired to be predominantly visual in the way we perceive things, the way we interpret things, the way we put things out. And if you're a person who's highly visual and you have a problem with being happy, change what you look at in your mind. Change the drawings, in other words. And that is a very quick way to change the alchemy of happiness. Especially fast visually. The people that are kinesthetic, it's a little harder, and the people that are auditory can change what they listen to, what channels they're tuning into, in other words, or whose voice they're listening to. Is it that critical adult that they grew up with, or that teacher or that neighbor that was abusive, or, you know, so if you're auditory predominantly and that's how you interpret and let things work, then check that out and make sure your ears are clean. And if you're kinesthetically oriented, so that means you feel things, it's mostly body sensations, body experiences, that's the hardest one to change because it's the slowest moving of all of the modalities. visuals just like that. If you get it and you're looking at destruction and, you know, people being after you and your bank account going down and all that kind of stuff, that's easy. There are remedies for that. You just start changing the pictures, change the movie, in other words. Jim, did you have your hand up? You look like you had something to say earlier. No, okay. Anybody else before we go? Yes, Cynthia, this is a rich discussion.
Yeah, well, I'm visual and kinesthetic, but mostly kinesthetic. So movement for me, it really is important. If I'm down and I can't change that picture or smile or whatever, it's, you know, whether I dance, do Tai Chi, go on a walk, you know, I'm not running anymore. Can't run anymore. It would have been a run, but it's just any kind of movement can shift things fairly fast.
I agree, absolutely. Okay, let's see what the council has to say. I'm going to go off video so I can do whatever I do when I talk without being in the driver's seat, whatever that is I do. Let's breathe together. Feet on the floor. Now put yourself in your absolute true north. That's not even half a bubble off level. That's straight on. Wherever your higher self is, it's holding one of the axes of your true north. Wherever your highest source of wisdom and knowledge and love is, it's also on the trajectory of your absolute true north. Make sure that it's going down in a very clear line down your spine and all the way into the earth in the south needle of your compass. And just feel how wonderful you feel when you are in alignment with your real self. Just feel how everything feels more possible when you're aligned to your truth. Into your blueprint, to your Akashic records, to everything that is real and meaningful to you in this incarnation, way up to the cosmos, where your home planet is, where your origins are, where all is love surrounding you and your true north axis. And it is that we come down your true north axis to see you and to talk with you and to look at you and to commune and to hug you if we could. Oh, if we could hug you, we would, no doubt. We have at least 12,000 pairs of arms, and then you throw in the Indian pantheon, we must have a gazillion arms. We've never counted them. We'll put someone on that task right away so we can tell you how many hugs we could give you. You know those Indian goddesses that have, how many arms do they have there, the Preeti? So many that they could hug an entire family. And we love it at once. And we love it. We love it. We love it. We love it. And having just come from a discussion, listening to all of you discuss the racism and privilege and all of those things that you were discussing just, well, an hour and a half ago, we are so aware of how sincere each and every one of you on this particular call of happiness are to be and to bring and to express and to augment and to accelerate love on your planet through your being. And that is the only way. You cannot do happy. You can be happy. You cannot do joy. You can be joy. And all of you are. That is your innate wiring. It is natural. It is your birthright. It is everything about you as a spark of source, as a glimmer of creation, as a shard of all that is, a hologram of the big hologram. It is all wired for happiness and love and joy and benevolence and gratitude and giving and graciousness and all of the other things that are part and parcel of being part of creation as love. So we suggest to each and every of you who are on this call, who are in the community of people who are brave enough to address these sorts of pithy issues, who show up time after time after time to say, I am a work in progress. I am remembering my mastery. I am dedicated to all of this, this remembrance, this putting my members back into their proper places of my brain, and my body, and my spirit, and my heart, and my soul, and my everything. I am happiness. I am joy. I am remembering that everything that appears to not be happy or joy is an illusion because it is not love. When and as I learn to love myself, as I am, every moment, every day, every nanosecond of every moment of every day, I can be happy if I choose. Now, does that mean I walk around with a silly grin on my face all the time? Absolutely not. People will throw you in the loony bin if you front up like that in your not very happy society. Does it mean that you can stay content regardless of what is going on around you? Perhaps. Does it mean that you can be in the middle of a riot and be happy? No. You do not put yourself in resonances that are diametrically opposite of resonance and expect your finely tuned electrical antenna that you are to function well. If you are around people who are angry or bigoted or greedy or jealous or violent or whatever, people and or circumstances, of course, you are going to bring your resonance down to match that which you are around and surrounded by. Because what humans do and molecules of humans do is entrain with the circumstances in which they find themselves. Which is why you can take a perfectly healthy baby who is born happy and ready to be loved forever and put it in a family that is not behaving in loving ways, and the baby learns how not to be loving, or how to be fearful, or how to be nervous, or how to have a tummy that is upset all the time, or whatever. Whereas the wiring of that baby, as all babies, is to be love, pure love, and to be loved. So you see, be that baby, bring that love back, let it be your wiring. Organize your life so you are surrounded by love and lovingness. Ingest that which is good for you, which feels like love for you. Eat love, speak love, hear love, see love, be love. We know, we make it sound very easy, don't we? All you have to do is turn on the news and see just exactly the opposite of what we are speaking. Well, then don't turn on the news. That's easy. It's going to be happening without you anyway. Why do you think you have to watch the news in order to get on, if not to relate to the news? Are you expecting to find something there that is going to enlighten you and make you feel happy? Wrong source. Of course, if you wish to have something to speak with other people about, you could read your news instead with a very, very big block of salt as your filter, questioning what you are reading without all the news and without watching a person lie to you through their teeth, as your news anchors do day after day after day. Whether they are aware of it or not, they are being fed lies. They are feeding you in turn lies. And your systems know it. When you watch the news, you do not leave the table or the sofa or the whatever feeling happy, do you? Unless it happens to be a scrap of happy news. And it is generally only a scrap of happy news because it is in with all the other unhappy news. And so the contrast makes it look happy, when in fact, it might just be a fact. So we ask you to be discerning about how you treasure, how you nurture, how you guard, and how you express and how you nourish your happy self. You deserve to do the best on that score that you know how. And if you do not know how to do that, there are ways to learn. Go to happy people and find out what they do. They are the best experts for that training and for that reminding you of what you already know to be true. Or come to us. We will give you a happy moment or two. And then, of course, we will hold your feet to the fire and challenge you to become an even more happy master than you could imagine being on your own. And, of course, that will point you to things that you are ignoring or you are blissfully unaware of or you are resisting or you are denying or you are doing. And that is why people only come to us when they really do want to shift, which is fine. We are open to business for anything. Always at your service, with love and other blessings. And until we have the pleasure and the honor, we ask you to go in great happiness. Or as some of you are willing to be, happy and joyful and grateful and beautiful and laugh and smile and play, and all the other things that conspire to be happy within you. If you can find a happy friend or two, that's even better. Go now with our blessings, and until we play again, adieu. Anybody have anything to say?
I just feel so happy and contented.
We really do have permission to be happy. Seema, you just turned yourself off. So come on. Yeah, there you are.
Although I don't have permission, first let's ask for it. I met with a friend yesterday and she has a little son. And the son, I really love the son and we had a wonderful time. He's 2 years old and he hasn't seen me for like 7-8 months, but we immediately connected and we played and we took him to the park. He was really happy dancing because in Golden Gate Park, someone was playing music. He was just dancing with the music and he would stop and he would dance right at the time that he would love the music and make poses. And when we wanted to come back, he was crying. And I remember that when I was a child, I liked to go to park and when I wanted to go home, I was crying. And when the counselor was speaking, I was wondering, is it normal? Or if the household is happy and joyful, is it true that the child should cry when they come home? Or there is a situation at home that a child rather stay in the park and play because if he goes home, or it's just natural for kids. So I was just like, this occurred to me and I wanted to get your opinion on it. Thank you.
Especially 2-year-olds. They're still naturally assertive. And if they don't get what they want, they let you know that they don't like it. So I think drawing conclusions about the home situation, you'd have to be really knowledgeable about what goes on there in order to draw that conclusion. You could probably draw the conclusion without knowing what a child's home life is, that when they cry, when they've been having fun and they want to have more fun, that they're probably just trying to manipulate you so that you'll let them stay in place some more. Megan, would you like to comment on that?
Part of finding our self-assertion is crying when we're that age, for sure. I would say probably that the happiest household on planet Earth, the two-year-old would still cry if you took them away from something they wanted. And what's so great about that is that we have such a strong desire body, and that that's the way we start to assert what we desire, what we love, you know. And when it's taken away, it's natural for those emotions to come forward. So what I could say also is that in a functional household versus a dysfunctional household, the adults in that family will know how to help a two-year-old mediate those emotions and to move on to something new. And, you know, so they'll be helped through that emotion much more easily and quickly than if they came from a dysfunctional family.
I want to just comment on how whenever I hear it's my birthright, how deep that goes in. But there's a quizzical part. There's a whole thing of just like being kind of surprised by that. And we talk about it in Sacred Sound when we're after chanting and chanting for whatever with Sanskrit. Of just, it's our birthright to be whole, and it's comforting that it is something that has to go through some filters, like really, type of thing. And I love hearing it, and I love opening to the belief of it, true on the deepest of all levels.
Every time the Grand Council comes through, I feel like they're right behind me, moving right through me. That's my need to lie on the floor. But that's not why I wanted to take the mic. I really appreciated their reminder of entrainment and how this frequency, even if it's something that we're really embodying and that we're centering on, and that we're connected to, is still, it's not so much that it's fragile, but that our antennas can shift out of, even if we're fully anchored in joy, if we're surrounded by not joy, and a lot of not joy, we'll be kicked off of the joy frequency. And that, initially when they said that, it's like, yes, of course we can. Before they said, of course not. I was thinking to myself, well, of course we can hold this frequency even in all this chaos. And then it's like, actually, maybe they do have a point. And for me, particularly as I grieve my childhood, it's like, oh, I feel so much more compassion for that part of me that went into hiding and that part of me that wasn't able to hold the frequency in the chaos. So it's possible that a part of me was judging myself for not holding that. And now it's like, well, of course, it's with entrainment, my body is trained to follow the herd mentality or whatever it is we want to call it. So knowing that that happens and knowing it's like, okay, well, how can I make choices that allow me to recenter in joy and that allow me to be in the world, but not necessarily of the world and not necessarily of the frequency that I don't desire to live in? Thank you.
Megan, and then I'll build on that too.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you're saying, Stella, and that's why it's so powerful to be in spiritual community and hear other people's experience, because I know that if I show up and there's a part of me that's in training to not love or not happiness, when I'm with a spiritual group with the intention and I hear like Preeti talking about how she reaches happiness, I can start to entrain in that higher spiritual vibration, which helps me to get back to compassion and love for all those parts of me that maybe were so trained to be in not love. And so I just wanted to remind us that this is why we we are in groups like this, because the frequency is so much higher than what we've been entrained in our past. And so it's really lovely to be with people who have the intention and who keep saying to each other, it is our birthright, you know, to hear it. I mean, it's important to hear it and to say it to each other and to raise that vibration. Thank you.
And remember, not only is it a birthright, it's a birth responsibility. So that when you recognize that you're out of your absolute true north, it's our responsibility as masters to put ourselves back there through whatever methodologies we've learned work, whether it's spiritual hygiene, if you're working with clients and you don't clear your space after every client, you're just asking yourself to get off true north. You're asking yourself to be spiritually unhygienic. If you live in clutter, you live in dirt, you live in the kinds of things that don't support you to be in your highest resonance, there are remedies for that. If you out of your room and you encounter people that are hateful or you know, whatever they are, then maintain your room as a sanctuary and go back into the space that supports your best self and do your practices, even if it means 20 times a day when you're in a circumstance. Better than getting off and then spending your blood over here. And remember, we cannot fix other people. That's one of the biggest myths we've ever had perpetrated on us. Is that if we're just kind enough, if we're just talented enough, if we're just Christian or Jewish or, you know, whatever enough, we're going to be able to make the world better. The only way it's getting better is by one of us at a time, all of us at a time, together, choosing to be our best selves. And that has a ripple effect. So holding for ourselves, and the council has asked us repeatedly over the last 2 years to not fix anything other than what we have at hand to fix. And that's this. Because when we do that, other people who of like mind, like heart, like spirit, like intention are magnetized to that. Okay.
Great to be with everyone today.
Wow, what a day.
Thanks,
thank you so much, everybody, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love it. Bye.